Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, I'm ready to get in the Word. And I come to a people that are expecting this evening. Oh, I'm in the right place. You know, a pastor teaches us that God will meet you at the level of your expectation. Come on, is your expectation high? Oh, okay. Oh, I'm in the right place. Y'all are making this one easy. If you want to turn with me to John chapter 14, John chapter 14, and I'm thankful to get into the Word of God. I want to talk tonight about doubting Thomas, formerly known as Thomas, right? I want to talk a little bit, and we're going to read a little bit of scripture, and that's okay because we're a Word church, right? With John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God." Somebody say, "Trust in God." "Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going." Pause here in verse 5. Thomas speaks up. He does a little smirk like, "We know." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you are going." Ever been there? "So how can we know the way?" I love that Thomas is real. We want to call him Honest Thomas, right? Keep it 100, Thomas. Keep it a buck, Thomas, right? Someone said keep it a buck. Like, or was he a hunter? What was he? No, but he kept it 100. He was real. He was authentic. I love it because there's a great book by John Maxwell. I know a pastor had his read it in staff years ago. It's "Good Leaders Ask Great Questions." And Thomas asked a question that all the disciples in the back of their mind was like, "Thank God he asked this question," because they had no clue where they were going. They had no idea. But Thomas was bold enough. He was authentic enough. He was transparent enough. How many know you can't have transformation without transparency? He's real enough. "God, we don't know what you're doing." Ever been there? Like, "God, I know you're on the throne, but I can't feel you or see you right now, and I have no idea what's about to happen." But he says, "No, we don't know what's going on." But I love this question because it sets up Jesus to make a prolific, profound, monumental, fundamental verse. He speaks something that is so important to our faith. It's actually something that's quoted probably all the time. Jesus answers, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He was bringing clarity and separating himself from any other religion by saying, "It's through me." And so Thomas says, "Bet." Thomas says, "Amen." Thomas says, "Got it. Thanks for the clarity," right? 6 chapters later, Jesus is hanging on a cross and dies. And Thomas kind of started to forget what happened. Thomas is in a place where he feels like his dream died because he was with the one that was the way, the truth, and the life. And things didn't go the way he planned. Ever been there? You think that God's about to do something great, and then all of a sudden, it's like all hell breaks loose in your life. Everything's going wrong. Everything is wrong. Everything starts showing up. You're like, "But I just got a word 6 chapters ago. I just got a word. Jesus, you just told me. Now you're on the cross, and it's all over." 6 chapters later, let's go to John chapter 20, verse 19. That evening, the disciples gathered together because they were afraid of the persecution from Jewish leaders. They had locked the doors, but suddenly Jesus appeared among them, said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them the wounds of his hands and his side, and they were overjoyed to see the Lord with their own eyes. Verse 24, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. I just want to encourage you in this place that when things don't go your way, don't go MIA. Don't go missing in action. When things don't go your way, don't go MIA. Don't disappear from the church. Don't stop serving. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop getting in your one-year Bible. Had to throw that in there, right? Don't stop pursuing God. Don't stop. In fact, when things are not going your way, it's time to press a little bit harder. It's time to give a little bit more. Come on, champions, do extra. God, I don't see you, but I know that you, I have made you and put you and placed you under control of my life. You can take the wheel of my life. God, I don't understand what's going on, but I'm not going to disappear. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to backtrack. God never leads us backward. He always leads us forward. We got to keep moving forward. If those fall away, if I face that betrayal, if I get fired, if they lie about me, if they talk about me, if my kids deserted me, no matter what, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm not coming to church late. I'm coming early. I'm bringing somebody with me. See, when you feel like all hell is breaking loose against you, that's not the time to back up. That's the time to move forward. That's the time to press in. That's the time to start fasting. That's the time to start going after God. That's the time to start praising. That's the time to start worshiping. That's the time to spend a little bit more time with Jesus. Not backtrack. But Thomas is MIA. When things don't go your way, don't go MIA. Don't go missing in action. Pastor said 2 weeks ago, he said faithfulness keeps you moving forward. Be faithful in the dark times. Be faithful in the good times. Be faithful when everything's going good. Be faithful when everything's going bad. He also said faithfulness is a requirement to fulfill God's plan for your life. So if you're going to fulfill the purpose that God has for you, not the plans that you have for your life, but the purpose that God has for you, we got to be faithful even when it's difficult, because faith does the hard thing. Amen? So moving on to verse 25, so the other disciples told him, we had seen the Lord, but he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. That word unless I see, that word unless in the Greek means conditional. We could call him conditional Thomas, where he was saying, God, if you do it this certain way, if the worship leader plays my favorite song, then I'll worship you. God, if you set everything up in motion and you answer my prayer, then I'll do it. I'll do it if you do it how I would like you to do it. Oh, now listen here. You got to be careful, because there's a Christianity out there that's displaying their Christianity, but it's really just telling God what you want him to do. Gimme, my name is Jimmy, wicka, wicka, right? Like telling you that and saying you just have to manifest it by just telling God. This is not entitlement. This is not, God doesn't serve us. We serve him. I'm going to trust God beyond the outcome. I'm going to trust God if I see my prayers answered or not. I'm going to trust God if hell or high water comes. I'm still trusting God. I'm still putting my money where God is. I'm still betting on him and not on people. I'm going to trust God if they stand with me or they don't stand with me. I'm going to trust God when I feel them and when I don't feel them. I'm going to trust God when I see them and when I don't see them. Is anybody getting this tonight? So he says this, and I think this is important, because there's an artist out right now. He was doing Christian music, and he said, I stopped doing Christian music, because when things got tough and when things got hard, and God didn't come through and answer my prayers. If you are saying, I will serve God if he gets me a house, or if my kids come back, or if this happens, really your God is after the if, not him. Your God is the result, not him. And so you can't be conditional, Thomas. You have to think of this way. I like what Smith Wigglesworth says. He said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel, but I'm moved by what I believe. Ooh, I love that right there, because if you're not careful, the world will try to move you to what's going on in the Middle East. If you're not careful, the world will try to move you to what's going on economically. If you're not careful, the world will try to move you to what's happening politically. But you're not moved by any of those things. You're moved by what you believe. And we don't put our trust in a party. We don't put our trust in a nation. We put our trust in the Almighty God. Come on, praise break. Can we just give God some praise in this room? I think about the three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Some of us know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I'm not going to call them those names because God didn't call them those names. That's what the world called them. Don't get it twisted. Throw this in here. Don't let the world define who you are. Don't let the world tell you who you are, because you'll never fulfill God's purpose with the mission and the identification of this world. That's why he's trying to steal the identity out of us, because if we don't know who we are, we'll never fulfill God's purpose for our life. But those boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, oh, I love it, because they said, we ain't bowing. We're not bowing to the things of this world. No, we're not bowing to these idols. And they're like, hey, we believe that God's going to rescue us, but even if he doesn't rescue us, we still ain't going to bow. Even if that prayer's not answered the way that I wanted it or how I saw it to be, I'm still not going to bow. I'm still not going to give up. I'm still going to pray with my family. I'm still going to fast for my family. I'm still going to believe God's report. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what the principal says, no matter what people say, I'm going to trust in God's word and what his word says about my future, about my family, about my finances, about my children, about what's happening in my future, what's happening in my job, what's happening in my career. I'm trusting God. So you're in this process where he's having it to be conditional. But let's look here in verse 26. It says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. So he was MIA, but then the next week he's there. Through the doors were locked, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Two things I want to share with this. One is, it don't matter what anybody says. God can come through. He don't have to come through the doors. He'll make another way. Jesus showed up. He didn't come through the doors. God can open a new door. Come on, you've been believing for it to be this way, and God's saying, you don't see me, but I'm right in the middle of that mess, in the middle of that storm, and I can open it over here. I just got to keep my eyes on Jesus and his word and what his word is saying about the situation. But the second thing is I want to give a shout out to all the disciples that didn't give up and cancel Thomas, right? They didn't cancel Thomas when he didn't believe. They said, hey, you don't believe, that's cool, but still come over and let's eat, let's fellowship together. Because there's somebody that doesn't believe right now, but they still need to come to church with you. There's someone that doesn't believe right now, but they just need to still be in the room. They just still need to be in the place. He didn't say, oh, you don't believe how I believe theologically? Get out. They said, come on, Thomas, just believe. Just believe. Just see what can happen next. See what I can do next. You know, I love it that when you have friends that don't judge you when you're going through it. The most important things in life are not things, but they're relationships. Pastors taught me, he said, if God wants to bless you, he'll give you a relationship. If the devil wants to distract you, he'll give you a relationship. I think what could have been of Judas if he had the right people in his life? Because he wasn't the only one that betrayed Jesus. Think about this, though. Judas, that says in Matthew 27:4, that Judas was in remorse and went back to a group of friends, and they said, what do you want me to do about it? But what if Judas went back to the right homies, to the right people? I think of that scripture that says, confess your sins one to another. In James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. I would submit to you, Church on the Rock, that the right people can heal you and the wrong people can kill you. The right people in your life can help you heal, while the wrong people in your life can lead you down that dark, devastating path. I wonder, I wonder what would happen with Judas, but Judas didn't have the right people in his life. Now look here in verse 27. It says, then he said to Thomas, reach out your finger here and see my hands and put it on your hand and place it into my side. Do not be faithless and unwilling, but stop. Somebody say stop. Your unbelief and believe. So I love this, though, is Jesus was full of grace and he was full of truth. You need people that are going to be full of grace, but not just grace and affirm you, but tell you the truth. I love that. I love this because he was full of grace, but he was full of truth. Pastor taught me this year one when I came on staff, because he taught me that this is how he leads, full of grace and full of truth. You can't just be full of truth and no grace, but you can't be full of grace and no truth. And Jesus gets to Thomas and said, Thomas, do you see what's going on here? I need you to stop your unbelief, though. I love it that before he can give him direction, he has to give him correction. Whoo, this is key right here, because we have to be correctable. I would submit to you, Church on the Rock, that I have learned more from correction than I have praise. I've learned more from correction from my mentors than I have praise from my mentors. Because it took me to get the adjustment. It's like going to a chiropractor. You get the adjustment so you can get an alignment. And you can't get to your assignment without getting an alignment. So you have to have adjustment to get to alignment to get to your assignment. So you have to have the adjustment, and you have to have the people that will be 100 with you and say, you got a bad attitude, it's ratchet, you need to stop it. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Jesus didn't hold back. He said, it's okay, Thomas, that you had unbelief, but stop your unbelief. He said, enough is enough. You got to stop it because it's destroying you. But I love this because what he's telling him is saying, Thomas, you don't understand it. You don't see it yet, but you're going to be a missionary in India. And you don't see it, but I need you, because you're never going to fulfill God's purpose for your life if you don't remove the unbelief out of your life. You need to eradicate the unbelief out of your life. Unbelief is destroying you. See, here's a thought for you, is whatever I worry about the most is where I trust God the least. Wherever I worry about the most is where I trust God the least. So I have to trust him in the dark times. I have to trust him. And we have to kind of compartmentalize those things that we're struggling and trusting him and start to trust him, because he doesn't want us to be in worry. In fact, when he created our bodies, he never created our body to be in worry. He never created. Some of us are nursing it. Be very careful how you declare. We all face and feel worry and anxiety, and I don't want to take that away from us, but here's the thing. It's not natural. God didn't create worry and anxiety. So we have to fight it, and we can't be in faith and worry at the same time. So we have to fight it. And he's saying, Thomas, you got to stop this mess. You've got to stop this. But I have to be correctable and teachable. Look what it says real quick in Psalm 141. Am I helping anybody? Y'all receive something? Psalm 141, it says, when, listen to this, y'all, this is so powerful. When one of your godly ones corrects me, or one of your faithful ones rebukes me, I will accept it like an honor I cannot refuse. Mic drop. It will be as healing medicine that I swallow without an offended heart. Come on, somebody. In a very sensitive culture, in a very sensitive time, in a very political correct time and era that we live in today, this scripture hits home that we've got to have the correction before we can get the direction. Woo! So he says this to him. I love this because this is so important that we accept it and that we honor it, and that we take it like healing medicine without an offended heart. Jesus warned us that if we're not careful, we'll be offended. We'll be offended by everybody and everything. But we're not to be offended. We're not to let offense get into us, but we're to get around the right people that will be full of grace and full of truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. I'm not going to read it, but it actually says that it will eradicate and take away deception. If you feel like you're being deceived or you can't tell, get around people that are full of grace and truth. Get around word people. Get around people that have a one-year Bible plan. John chapter 20, verse 29. I'm hurrying right here. Thomas said, my Lord, my God, Jesus said to them, because you've seen me, do you now believe? Jesus is telling Thomas, do you now believe that you've seen me? He said, but then he says, look at this. This is so powerful because now there's a promise. Because he's saying, Thomas, this is your unbelief. You've been operating in unbelief and you cannot fulfill the assignment that I have for you, Thomas. But here's how you're going to be able to fulfill the assignment that I have for you. Blessed, happy, spiritually secure, and favored by God are they who do not see me, yet believed in me. We are blessed when we don't see him, but still trust him. God's favor's on us when we don't see him, but still trust him. God's favor's on us when the principal calls us, when the bills come in, when all hell's breaking loose, when you feel like you're on the brink of a divorce, when you feel like you're on the brink of bankruptcy, when you feel like you're going to have to close that business, but you still trust him. You still trust him. You're still believing. You're still speaking the word of God. You're still declaring the word of God no matter what the doctor says. So my unbelief will prevent me from receiving God's best in my life. Hebrews 3:19 says it this way. So we see that we were not able to enter into his rest. God has rest for you. God didn't call you to not get sleep at night. God has rest for you. He has supernatural rest for you and the promised land for you. He said that they didn't get the rest in the promised land because of the unbelief. This is the children of Israel, an unwillingness to trust God. Ooh. So let's real quick, I'm going to close with 4 points real quick on how we could remove unbelief. Y'all want to hear them real quick? Number one, I have to read my Bible daily. Well, duh. A lot of people say duh, but who's doing it? And when you fall off, and no condemnation, but if you fall off, get back on. Get right back at it. The God's word for today is for today's challenges. God's word for tomorrow is for tomorrow's challenges. Yeah, so you need to read your Bible daily. That's Joshua 1:8. Number two, I'm just going to cruise through these a little bit. But keep God in your thoughts. Number two, keep God in your thoughts. Philippians 4:8, this is the end of it. It says to fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. You know, when I first got Instagram, I think that they had some kind of algorithm that they were trying to get me to be a cowboy. And as you can see tonight, I'm probably not a cowboy, right? They wanted me to get into NASCAR. They had an algorithm. They kept showing me things of NASCAR and cowboys and all kinds of stuff, farms. I'm like, yo, I'm not that guy. So you know what I started doing? As I started to hit, there's a little button you click. I don't know if you have the picture for that. There's a little button you click, and it says not interested. I started hitting that button. And finally, they figured me out. It was Christian hip hop. It was Jordans. It was Turtles. Don't judge me. It was all kinds of stuff. But it took a moment for me to be able to see this. I had to let Instagram know I'm not interested. Next time that thought comes popping in your mind, you just got to replace it with the word of God and say, I'm not interested. That fear comes to your mind. I'm not interested. What are you doing? It's the law of replacement. I'm changing my thoughts for God's thoughts. All right, so it's read your Bible daily. Keep God in your thoughts. And number three, control your mouth. Y'all pray for me on that one, okay? I got my wristband up here. No complaining. Right? If I start complaining, we have it. I know some of you, the dream team, we have it, right? And what are we doing? You know, we are going to control our mouth. Do you know that I think where our mouth gets out of control is the root of why that happens is fear. So 2 Timothy 1:7, we know this is a very familiar scripture on fear. But think of it this way. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit's given you mighty power, love, and self-control. Discipline. I'm going to discipline my tongue to not respond with fear, but respond with faith. I'm going to declare the word of God. I'm going to speak the word of God. I'm going to say it when I don't see it till I see it. And let's be careful that we don't put God in a box and say, God, you have to do it this way. God, if you want to do it through medicine, great. If you want to do it through a doctor, great. However you want to do it, if you want to do it through a counselor, great. But God, I know that you're going to do it. that you are going to do it. I'm going to trust you. God, I'm not going to put you in a box and say it has to be this way. I'm going to trust you no matter how you want to do it. God, if it's going to be a little bit in the natural, I'm believing for the supernatural. I'm going to do my part. You're going to do your part. But God, I'm going to trust you even when I don't see you. Even when I don't feel you, even when it feels difficult, even when it feels frustrating, right? Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death, right, is in the power of the tongue. So let's speak life. Let's breathe life. Let's declare life over every situation. Then the last one, this is number one, read your Bible daily. Two, keep God in your thoughts. Three, control your mouth. And then number four, serve God's purpose for your life. If you're dealing with fear, you need to start serving. If you're dealing with anxiety, you need to start serving. If you're dealing with doubt, you need to start serving. Let me show you why. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I love the word of God, don't you? So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, and enduring. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. Now look at this right here. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by going to McDonald's, by going to church, by giving our tithe, which we should, by serving the Lord. So I'm going to prosper, I'm going to excel by serving the Lord. Whoa, 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 wait a second here. I'm to be in that God is for you class. I'm to get on that team because when I'm doing this, what I'm doing is I'm removing unbelief from my life. I'm removing doubt from my life. And what am I doing? I'm being like Christ, and he's going to give me the unshakable confidence. Somebody say unshakable confidence. You're most like Jesus when you're serving. So you start to receive how Jesus had it. Let's look at this other verse. This is Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. And there's only one chapter, so it's verse 6. We each have the same faith in Christ. Whoa, what? We each have the same faith in Christ as we. What? So I have to fulfill God's purpose I have to start serving God's purpose, not my plans. God's purpose. God's purpose for my life. I have to take that time to serve God's purpose and fulfill God's purpose, to fulfill God's purpose for my life. And while I'm doing that, God's working on my thoughts. While I'm doing that, God's working on the scene. See, you might have spent some extra time, and champions do extra, right? You might have gone above and beyond, but you need to know that while you're doing this and taking care of God's house, he's taking care of your house. He's taking care of the unknown. He's taking care of those things that maybe have had you worried. But instead of worrying, I'm going to worship through serving. I'm going to worship through serving. I'm going to worship through serving. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to put God first. As I'm taking care of God's house, I'm taking care of what's most important. What are you doing? You're saying, God, I value you. And God, I don't know how you're going to do it. That's none of my business. I'm not going to focus on how. I'm going to focus on who. I'm going to focus on who you are. I'm going to trust God beyond the outcome. I'm going to trust him when I don't see him. I'm going to trust him when I do see him. I'm going to trust him when I feel him. I'm going to trust him when I don't feel him. Come on, when you have the day, you know what I'm talking about, the day from hell, that sometimes you just got to open your door and command the devil to get out in Jesus' name. You are not welcome in this house. Strife's not welcome in this house. Fear's not welcome in this house. Anxiety's not welcome in this house. What are you doing? You're taking authority and you're saying, no, I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to tolerate it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to feed myself with the word of God daily. I'm going to replace my thoughts for his thoughts. I'm going to start thinking about who he is and how great he is. Instead of spending time on the circumstances, spend on time thinking how big and wonderful and amazing and incredible is our God, right? And then I'm going to control my mouth because we're hung by our tongue, right? But then I'm going to serve God's purpose for my life. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you, God, for this amazing church, this is amazing people. And God, I know tonight, Holy Spirit, you have been speaking through your word. God, I thank you for moving. I thank you that we're surrendering areas, adjusting so we can get in alignment, so we can fulfill the assignment that you have for our life. And God, I thank you right now, God, that you are moving throughout this auditorium. I thank you that you are speaking. God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to reveal, God, things that we need to stop worrying and start trusting, that we need to surrender over to you. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you're in this room tonight and you say, Mark, I have been in this battle where I have been worrying, fretting and fearing and frustrated and unbelief in my life, but today I need to have a fresh start and I want to start trusting God. Maybe you came in this place today and have never accepted Jesus into your life, or maybe you have accepted Christ, but you've let the situations, the circumstances, and the things of this world get in you, and you said, Mark, I've been in doubt, I've been in unbelief, but today I want a fresh start. I want a new beginning, and I'm ready to start trusting God in every area of my life. If that's you, I'm not going to call you out, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand right where you are, because I want to know who I'm praying for. Would you just lift that hand? Wherever those hands are going up, I'm going to trust. I'm going to give it to you. God, I surrender everything. My child, the wayward situation, I'm going to surrender the finances. God, I've been worrying long. Enough is enough. I'm giving it to you. Hands are going up all over. Church on the Rock, would you just repeat this after me? Say, Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And we give everything to you. We surrender our life, our plans, our agenda, and we take up your purpose that you have for our life. Jesus, thank you for defeating death, hell, and the grave. We believe that you're the Son of God, and we receive you now. Take our life and make a difference in Jesus' name.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.